And when Jesus died on the cross, the earth shook, the rocks split, and the veil was torn. It came down. It was broken. And instead of having to go in to see God, God came out to find us.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to part two of the two-part Easter weekend series podcast. I am again coming to you from the passenger seat of my 2003 Honda CR-V and route back from my Easter dinner with my family. For me, I've been at Life Church for about 4 or 5 Easters now, and this was just a really powerful weekend for me personally. We do a lot of extra elements in this service, and we do all that not to do a big production or a show, but to create moments where people can experience Jesus. So we do things like a choir or extra lighting or scripture reading so that people can have an environment where they can commune with Jesus. That's ultimately why we do any of this stuff. I really hope that this message hits you as I've been listening to it, editing this podcast. It's really been influential to me to be outside of the moment of church and experience this. So if you're listening to this on a Monday morning on the way to work, if you're on the way home from work, on your lunch break, whatever it is, I hope that this gives you some life in your day. So here's Nathan bringing the Easter message.
Sometimes it's a struggle to show up to church, especially if it's new. You know, the struggle is real. If you have kids, you're like driving in and you're like, guys, stop fighting. We're going to church. We're going to go in there and smile and pretend everything's okay. You know, the struggle's real to get here. So I thank you for all that hard work to get here. You ever heard that? The struggle is real. You ever heard that phrase? Yeah? Usually refers to things that aren't that big a deal. But when I think of the struggle is real, I always think of pouring a beautiful bowl of cereal on Saturday morning, and you get in that nice bowl, you're getting ready, you got your coffee or whatever, and you go to the refrigerator, and you open the refrigerator, and you grab the milk, and you pull it out and realize there's like 4 drops of milk in there because your spouse or your teenage son was disrespectful to you and your morning. And your cereal is all poured and ready to go, but there's no milk. The struggle is real. Right? Or like you show up and you want to listen to some tunes on your nice headphones, but you just bought a new phone and there's no headphone jack. The struggle is real, right? Like, Apple, we love you, but stop it. Stop it. Or young parents of young kids. The struggle is real. I don't even see it. Anything else. My son, he's my middle child, he's potty training and he's not very good at it. And he takes his diaper off and he gets on the toilet, which you're like, hey, that's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. Except he's already gone. Like, so he already goes number 2 in his diaper, takes it off, and then decides, well, I better get on the toilet now. And so he gets on the toilet, but he's small. So he has to like lean up against stuff and get up on there. So when I walk in, it looks like a brown Jackson Pollock painting all over. The struggle is real. No one told me that I would be dealing with that much excrement when I became a parent. But our struggles, right? Things that aren't that simple. Our struggles are real. Our struggle is real. The life we lived, it's full of struggle. You know, some of us who are in the middle of failing marriages or our marriages have failed, and at some point we ask the question, why did we even do this in the first place? You know, I've never felt more alone than living with this person. The struggle's real. Hopelessness. I keep trying, but I can't catch a break. I keep taking 2 steps forward and 5 steps back. I am hopeless. I don't know what's going on. Depression, right? Depression. We like to say, we can't even, right? We can't even finish that sentence. That's what people say. I can't even, Becky, with you right now. I can't even. But the truth is, with depression, sometimes we can't even get out of bed. We can't even go to work again. We can't even have that conversation again. Our struggle is real. Whether it's chasing a dream you can't catch, anxiety or sickness, our struggle is real. And I believe that God is trying to say something about our struggles. That you're here for a reason and that God wants to speak to you. And I want you to pay attention to how he gets your attention in this message. In school, I had a professor who used to come in and he said, all right, everybody, I don't want you to take notes today. I want you to take note. And what he was saying is that something was going to strike us during that time. Something was going to reach out and kind of tap us on the head. And we were supposed to take note of that and start paying attention to what we were learning. And I would say to you today, don't take notes. Take note of when God speaks to you. You are not here by accident. God has something for you. But our struggles are real. Where do our struggles really come from? Where do our struggles come from? Our struggles are a result of separation anxiety. I would say to you today that your struggle, whatever it is a result directly of separation anxiety. A dog who has separation anxiety is dropped off at somewhere so they can watch him while his parents go off in vacation. And a dog with separation anxiety will forget that he is house trained. He will forget that he is a happy dog. He'll be whiny, he'll be barking, he'll have trouble with everything. And so our struggles are a result of our separation anxiety. In the beginning, humankind had it all, right? We had it all. Food was everywhere. It was hanging from trees. It was wonderful to pluck. It was amazing. The temperature was perfect. We got to like play with tigers like, and they wouldn't kill us. Like it was an incredible time. Everything was so great. The temperature was so good. It was so nice. It wasn't like Michigan at all. It's like that perfect 2 weeks of Michigan all the time. But it was so good. It was so good that they walked around naked. Seriously, like read the Bible. The Bible's some racy stuff. They were walking around naked because the temperature was so good. But really, the main thing is that they walked with God. They walked with God. They walked in his paradise and in his love. To love him. And here's the truth about love. In order to love someone, there has to be a choice. If there is no choice to choose someone, there is no love. And so God, who created this, wanted us to love him, so he gave us a choice. You can choose to enjoy all this, or one choice you can make, to eat from this tree, to do this thing, this one thing I ask you not to do. And what does humankind do? But they do it. They choose God's way instead of, they choose their way instead of choosing God's way. But they didn't do it in a vacuum. The great deceiver, the serpent, the snake, Satan was there, and he was tempting them, trying to get them to fall. He made God out to be stingy and fearful, and humankind chose another way. And in that moment, there was a separation from God, and there was birthed into the world all of our struggles. War, rage, cancer, deprivation, starvation, mental issues, all of it happened in this moment. Because God had to come and tell humankind, you made this choice other than me, and now you have to be separate from me. And we've been suffering anxiety ever since. But it's a subtle thing. You know, if you take a frog and you put it in a water and you start boiling very slowly, you start boiling the water very, very slowly, what'll happen is the frog can't differentiate what's happening, and you can boil a frog alive. And that's what happens to us when we make our own choices. Every choice we make shapes our future. Some of you are paying for choices that you made when you are a teenager. We know this. We know this. We know that choices we make impact our future. Like right now, I'm carrying into the future some choices that I make, namely fries and tacos, right about here. Like long into the springtime diet, I'm going to be carrying that choice with me. Anyone else? Amen? Yeah? Yeah. We get this. We understand this. So we understand that sin and the struggle that we experience is this long-term effect of years and years and years and years and years of separation anxiety. So God says, you have to be other than me. This sin has been woven, that's the word sin, has been woven into the very fabric of every relationship that we have. And what it results is in us feeling alone and sorrowful, dead to the beauty in the world. We've lost all hope, and we don't even know where to begin. How do we move forward? So that's the message to humankind from God. But then he has something to say to the deceiver, to the snake. In Genesis 3:15, he says this, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Enmity means warring and faction. They won't like each other. And between your offspring and hers. And then it shifts, and he says, he, singular, will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. What he's saying now is like, you had this great relationship with all the animals, but now snakes you're not gonna like. I didn't need Indiana Jones to show me that snakes are terrible and hate them, right? I hate snakes so much, they freak me out. If you love snakes, Jesus still loves you. But what happens in this verse isn't just, hey, we're not gonna like snakes because they're creepy or whatever. He says something else. He goes singular. He says, there's gonna be an offspring woman. There's gonna be someone who's gonna come from you who's going to crush you, Satan. Gonna crush your head and completely destroy you forever. You will strike his heel, but he will crush you. See, after the first fall came the first promise of God. A promise that even though humankind chose to walk away from God, God will draw them back to him. There will be a time where a man will be born who will crush Satan's head. This is the promise. Here's what you need to know today. Our struggle is real, but so is God's love. Our struggle is real. Your struggle, it's real. Knowing Jesus isn't gonna take it away. But we need to know that God's love is real as well. That is why you are here. If you have received nothing else from this message, understand that God's love for you is one that will remove every barrier to you experiencing a life in full with him. That's why we're doing this series. Cross equals love. This is all about telling people this story. We have invite cards and t-shirts. Someone bought you a t-shirt. If you're new here, fill out a card, go give it. They bought it. They're waiting for you to take it. Like, this is what we want to spread. And we have these, some people have been inviting people through these wristbands when Facebook and email, all of this. The reason you are here is to hear this truth about Jesus Christ and what he has for us. We've been preparing for this for an entire month just so you can be here. If you're new, you are our favorite people. I want you to know that. This symbol is more powerful than anything. And our people here who go here, they're like getting into it in a huge way. They're loving it. They're doing crazy stuff. One guy, he even like drew it on his arm, right? He drew it on his arm right there, except he didn't draw it on his arm. That's actually a stencil. And what he did is he got it tattooed permanently on his arm. This is how much he believed in the cross equals love. That he said, you know what? I want everybody I know. He tattooed it so that people could read it when he's walking. He wants everybody to know that Christianity, that the cross doesn't stand for bigotry and hate, but it stands for love. And he told me, hey, yeah, so when I'm driving, I'll be able to see it and not like flip people off. He didn't say that. I said that. I thought it was funny. He said, I want to remember when I'm driving that God loves every single person I'm driving past. Isn't that beautiful? The people love this. There's something about the symbol of the cross that's better. We lost one of our great cathedrals this week, Notre Dame. And if you watched it, the fire and watching it fall apart and all that and the spire falling, it was this visceral moment. And you can actually hear people just moaning the loss. But when the dust cleared, the cross remained. And I think this is such a beautiful picture of what the cross is. Even though our lives may fall apart, the cross remains. The cross remains. See, thousands of years from now, long from now, when people refer to America in the same way we refer to the Empire of Rome or the Aztecs, the cross will endure. Long after your life is over and your great-great-grandchildren are over, the cross will endure. Long after your divorce, long after your failure, the cross will endure. This symbol is endured because it means life and hope for us. The scripture you may recognize that wraps this up well is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is what God promises to us. So we're suffering from this separation anxiety from God as a result of sin. Sin is a theological, churchy word for missing the mark, for screwing up, for breaking something. It is other than right and good. And God is so perfect and beautiful and good. And so what happened is that when sin comes into the presence of God, which is right and good, the other is eradicated. It's erased. in the presence of God's holiness. And since these choices have been woven into the very fabric of our identities and our world, in the presence of God would erase us along with the sin. But God loved us. So God didn't wait to redeem what we lost. He set apart a people called the Hebrews. And he set up this system and allowed them to create this temporary sacrifice, the sacrificial system where they would kill animals. And then through that sacrifice, they would be able to approach the presence of God because they would have a covering over them. And it's best understood, every year, the high priest, he was the one who was in charge of making sure that he moved God. The high priest, he was the one who did something incredible and good. And he would wear all of these beautiful things on him, all these beautiful garments, all these beautiful jewels. And the high priest would do this in a way that every day he would cleanse himself in preparation. And as he cleansed himself further and further, he would get ready to take this sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. And so what he would do is he would stand here. But here's the crazy part. This veil, right, would be constructed. It was 3 feet deep. It was a veil between the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was, and him. And in the Holy of Holies, God's presence would be the most pure on all the earth. And so he would get ready. And what they would do is they would actually tie also a rope around his ankle. A rope around his ankle with bells on it. And you may ask the question, well, you have these beautiful things, why would a rope with bells on it be there? And what would happen is the bells were there to make sure that the high priest was still there and moving. So, you know, like a cat wears bells on their collar so you can know where they are, because all cats are plotting to kill you. So you can know where they're at. Cats are the spawn of Satan, right? Like that was happening. They would put bells to make sure that he was still moving. And then the rope was there for another reason. The rope was there and would give it a little tug to make sure he was still moving. But if he stopped moving, it meant he was dead. It meant he was dead. Everybody say hi, Dan. So this beautiful picture of what was going on, it's difficult to explain without you seeing it. But he would have these wonderful bells on his ankle, and he would be moving. And then every once in a while, what he would do is he'd give it a little tug to make sure. But can you imagine what it would be like to be the high priest and to walk up to this veil, knowing that on the other side is the holiest of holies, to walk up to this and know that on the other side is something so pure and that you have done everything? You must be standing here thinking, okay, did I do everything right? Am I wearing the things right? Did I prepare my heart? Have I thought of anything sinful in the last 40 seconds? This is like how some of us go to church. We're like, wait, if I walk in here and I haven't got everything figured out, I'm probably gonna get zapped, or the church is gonna burn down. If that happens, it's cool. We got insurance. We'll build a bigger building. It's great. But this is not what you experience here, but that's what they experienced then. And so he's standing here, prepared, ready. And then he steps. Yeah, I'm still alive. This is what happened. He would go in and sacrifice, and all this happens. It was just an incredible thing. So my question for you is, if you think about that, you should realize that sin is serious. Sin is extremely serious. It's, okay, I'm alive. I'm like, yeah, we got it. Thank you. Thanks, Dan. Why don't you give it up for Dan? Yeah. Sin is serious. And you know this. There's this veil in your life. You know this, that there's this separation between you and other people. It's sometimes like you're in a marriage and you're talking, but it feels muffled because there's something in between. You're trying to talk to your teenage kids and they're not hearing you. It's almost like there's something in between. Or you're a teenager trying to talk to your parents and they can't hear you because there's something in between. Or maybe the way we look at God, we stand outside the Holy of Holies and we look at God and we think, are you really there? Are you really present? Are you really around? The separation is something we have all felt, this disconnect that makes us feel alone in a crowded room. But God never wanted you to feel that way. His design was for us to be completed in him. He loves you too much to leave you in your struggle. For God so loved the world, so loved us, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This sacrificial system was a vehicle of partial cleansing. Partial cleansing. It only covered them a little bit. But the cross was a vehicle of something more pure and more powerful. The cross was something that was complete and not just a covering, but cleansed us from the inside out. See, God's plan was always to move us in this direction, was always to move us to a place where he could be with us. A pure sacrifice was given so that the covering allows us to be in the presence of a pure and holy God. God gave up the life of his son, Jesus. My youngest is 6 months old, and she's amazing. Her name's Eden. And she's in this phase where she likes to just stare at you and like stare into your soul like 20 minutes on end. And I'm telling you, it's kind of like wrecking me completely. Like I'm like staring at her and she's staring at me, and inside I'm like dying, like in a good way though. Like I feel like the inside of my heart is just being ripped apart and put back together. It's this beautiful thing. But if you were to come to me and say, what would you take for your daughter? I'd say nothing. Don't you lay a hand on her. But God's love is so great and bigger than we can understand that he gave his son for you. For you. That's the truth of who Jesus is. Jesus was killed on a criminal's cross for crimes he never committed. To be pierced and beaten, to hang and die. A horrible, horrible death. You see, this cross isn't supposed to be about beauty. This cross isn't supposed to be about love. This cross is supposed to be torture and death and pain. It was supposed to be about humiliation, but now it's something different. Let's join Jesus and Matthew as he gives up his life. Matthew 27:50. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple, this curtain, was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split. Imagine that for just a moment. This was the old system. The presence of God is in here, in the Holy of Holies. You can't come in here unless you're an elite. You can't come in here unless you've been purified. And when Jesus died on the cross, the earth shook, the rocks split, and the veil was torn. It came down. It was broken. And instead of having to go in to see God, God came out to find us. Do you understand that? Instead of having to go to a certain place to find God, God came out to meet you in your anxiety and your pain and your fear and your worry and your bitterness and your anger. This is the beauty of what happened in a moment. Changed the foundation of the world forever. Instead of insufficient sacrifices through the old system that enabled us just to be near the presence of God, Jesus sacrificed so that God could be with us always. And God's presence is now available to all. The veil has been destroyed. It is no longer there. This is the power. Jesus' death meant our life. Jesus' death meant our life. It means that God isn't far off, but incredibly close, and that we're no longer forced to be apart from God. He has canceled our debt, our shame he bore on the cross. Everything you've ever done, every addiction, every brokenness, every hurtful thing you've said, everything you've stolen, all of that, the shame of what would happen if you talked to someone and told them everything that you'd ever done wrong, all that shame, all that thing, God sees it and placed it on his son, and it is paid for, it is finished. Your shame is no more. Today you have a decision, a choice. Will you accept this or not? But Easter isn't just about Jesus' death, it's about something more. Matthew 28:1. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. They were going there to see and mourn Jesus' death. They thought all hope was lost. Well, listen, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And just like an earthquake accompanying the change of something and the tearing of the veil, the shakings of the foundation of the world, this moment, this earthquake signified something new, a change that would mean something incredible for us. Continuing, the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." When someone rises from the dead, the world changes forever. When someone rises from the dead, the world's never the same again. And Jesus, if somebody predicts that they're going to die and says, "After I die, 3 days later, I'm going to rise up again," and then he dies, and 3 days later, he rises up again, you should listen to that person. They know something you don't know. They have a power that you haven't experienced. See, Jesus' resurrection meant our victory, that we get to partner in him with this power. What the cross meant to kill is actually our victory. We can take back our freedom because the battle between good and evil has been won. We're coming back from the dead because our Savior overcame even the power of death. Listen, your struggle, the struggle is real, but the victory is ours. Your struggle is real, but the victory is ours. I don't care what you're going through in Christ, the victory can be yours. This grace is free. This new life is ours to seize. We're rising from the death of our brokenness and pain into a new life. His resurrection meant new life. So for those of us who know him, we're not afraid of anything anymore because the promise of God to redeem the world can never be torn away from us. We are safe in his covering and sacrifice and victorious in his resurrection. But one day death will arrest your earthly progress. It'll stop it in its tracks. One day our lives will end, but our victory is that we will continue. We will continue into something new because we serve a Savior who has defeated sin and death. This is the invitation to new life. Here's what you need to know. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from God's love anymore. Not our sin, not our death. We can be in Christ. Jesus died, and his journey, according to any other standard, would have been done, finished, completed. But Jesus wasn't dead long. He changed death forever. Instead of death having the final say, death was arrested in the power of Jesus Christ. The power of sin was destroyed in his resurrection. And this new life began. And when he rose with our freedom and victory in his hands. Look up here, listen. Jesus's death and his resurrection, they're greater than any pain you feel. They're greater than any loss that you've experienced, any damage you've done, any sickness that you have. Because the power of God, the power of Jesus, it's earth-shaking, it's ground-breaking, it's veil-tearing, it's paradigm-shifting, it's mind-blowing, it's awe-inspiring, it's death-arresting power. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Where are you, church? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Except one thing. Back in the garden, we had beauty all around us, choices all around us. There was only one choice. One choice that was other than God. Don't do this. This is other than God. One choice. And now when we're surrounded by brokenness and other than God, there's only one choice left. One thing that's in the way of us experiencing that love again. And that's choosing to follow Jesus the rest of your life. It's saying, if somebody predicts that they're gonna die and rise themselves up from the grave, then dies and raises himself up from the grave, he must not be a man. He must be something more. And this one choice is for you to follow him. That's the only thing that separates you. Your choice, because love always requires a choice. So I'm gonna give you that choice now. To choose him, to follow him, to see what he can do in your life. No matter where you are in this room or online, God is speaking to you. He is with you in this moment. He is incredibly close and he's begging you, and I'm begging you. Follow him. Follow him. So let's pray. We're gonna close our eyes. We're gonna bow our heads in this moment. Can make a decision to follow Jesus by praying after me, by repeating out loud or in your hearts these words. God, I am broken. I'm separated from you. I felt it. And God, I want to be close to you again. And so I know the only way for me to be in your presence is to have a cleansing of the sin and brokenness in me. And I believe that Jesus died and paid for all of my shame. And I accept that. But I also believe that Jesus rose up into new life. And I want that too. I want to be new. I want my dreams restored. I want my relationships healed. I want to follow you and live a full life from now and forever. So I will follow the words of Jesus Christ. I will follow him into eternity. Thank you, God, for loving me. I choose you. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. What a great Easter message from Pastor Nathan. If you want to find out more information about Life Church Canton or other churches in the Life Church Network, you can go to lifechurchcanton.org or fill out the form linked in the show notes below, and someone from the church will reach out to you with more information. If you came to Life Church for the first time this past weekend, we would love to know about that. We believe that life isn't meant to be lived in isolation, but we want to connect with you and learn to live like Jesus in community together. If you want to email the show, you can do that at podcast@lifechurchcanton.org. Please make sure to tune in next week for week number 5 in our series, Cross Equals Love. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're enjoying the show, please share it with a friend. Once again, I'm Sam Parham, and you've been listening to the Life Church Canton podcast. Have a great week, everybody.